Y'all ready to get in the Word? Hey, take your Bibles, go to Psalm 34 and 1 Samuel 21. This is going to be a little bit different tonight, okay? A little bit different, but we're going to hopefully see something that we've never seen before or hear something we've never heard before. The title of this would be Camouflage Worship. Camouflage Worship. Hey, Kyle, do me a favor. Can you turn on... Can I turn on? Can you turn on microphone one?
Check.
Okay, good.
Can I get a volunteer to read a couple of verses from Psalm 34? All right. I didn't think it was going to go as easy. Yeah. Somebody else be ready to volunteer here in a second. I'm getting y'all involved tonight, if that's okay. Well, it's got to be okay because I'm going to do it anyway. Psalm 34, okay? Camouflage worship. Before we get started, I want you to know this. I'm not telling you, or I'm not saying this is going to be something you can do every single time. But every once in a while, you should be able to do this because it would... Give you, golly, I don't know if you'd say power, but wouldn't you like to thumb the eye of the enemy every once in a while? Put you, I don't know if y'all know what I'm talking about. Just thumb him in the eye. You know what I'm saying? Hey, now, he does something to you. Now, he expects a reaction, right? If things are not going the way you want them to go, he expects you to curse, fuss, get mad. Leave, do all the other stuff, whatever, right? What if you do the opposite in the midst of crazy? Dang, give me the first three verses of that Psalms 34, if you would, please.
I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together.
Is that awesome? When she's reading, or whenever whoever read that with her, is that not awesome? Mm-hmm. Give me that first, the very first three, give me the first three words again.
I will bless
the Lord. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Does that sound like he just got to church? I'm serious, does it? Mm-hmm. Sounds like he just got to church. Oh, I will bless the Lord.
Amen.
Amen? Yes. Praise God. He sounds like he's having the best time of his life. If you read that like I read that today, you're thinking, man, this dude knows how to praise.
Yes.
Y'all ready? But listen, it's 1 Samuel chapter 21, verse 1. Then came David to Nob to Amalek. The priest, and Amalek was afraid at the meeting of David and said unto him, why art thou alone and no man with thee? And David said unto Amalek, the priest, the king hath commanded me a business and has said unto me, let no man know anything of the business whereabout I send thee and what I command of thee, and I have appointed my servant to such and such place. Now, therefore, what is under thine hand, give me five loaves of bread in mine hand, or what there is present. And the priest answered and said, David, and said, there is no common bread under my hand, but there is hallowed bread. And if the young men have kept themselves, at least from women. And David answered the priest and said unto him, of truth, women have been kept from us about 3 days since I came out, and the vessels of the young men are holy, and the bread is in the manner of common, yea, though it were sanctified this day in the vessel. So the priest gave hallowed bread, and there was no bread there but the shew bread that was taken from before the Lord to put hot bread in the day when it was taken away. Now, check this out. You say, what are you talking about? David is on the run. No, Saul has already said, the next time I see David, I'm going to kill him. Jonathan goes out into the field and gives David the sign, run for your life. He comes to Nob, which is right on the outskirts of Gath, right outside of the people, guess what, who hate him, his worst enemies. David versus Goliath. Amen? Okay, guess what? That's where he's at. He's about to cross over into enemy territory because he doesn't feel safe with his family, with his kindred, with his nation. Oh my gosh. He feels safer going into enemy territory than he does staying with people who's supposed to love him. Are y'all getting me? And what is he saying? Praise God. Read that first verse again. Listen to what he said in Psalm 34. Because this is the same exact time.
I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth.
Ain't that good? What? I will praise the Lord at all time? I mean, goodness Christ. He should be saying, God, where are you? Wait a minute, Lord, you anointed me the next king of Israel. Why am I running from where I'm supposed to be leading? That's not what he's saying. He's come. If you read Psalm 34 with no titles, with no help, you would think David is in one of the greatest periods of his life. I hate to worry you. Is there a verse in there that says something, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good? Is it?
8.
Verse 8, read that. Diane, guess what? You're just going to have to read tonight, okay?
I love reading.
Nobody else is a volunteer, just Diane. All right, so Diane, give me that one.
Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him.
Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. When you hear that, when I first say, oh, taste and see, what does that kind of remind you of? Right off the bat, what do you think about? Who said that? Yeah, me too. Food. Amen? I think of food. I think, man, it's a very explicit thing. You can taste, you can try God. You can put Him in, and you're going to find out right away He's good. You know what good is and what bad is, right?
Yes.
I know what good food is and what bad is. Somebody says, that's good food, and I eat it. It's not good. I'm like, that's not good. Amen? If I eat it, it's good. I'm like, it's good. Right? He said, oh, taste. Now, that's a food reference, right? When did he say, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good? Did anybody catch on to what I was saying when I was reading out of 1 Samuel? What is he doing? He's running, but he's also begging for what? Food. We can leave now, right? We're good? We can leave? Let's just go. Let's go on home. That's good, ain't it? He made a food reference when he was he went into the temple and he said, hey, Elimelech, listen, we're hungry. Give us what you got. You know what Elimelech said? We don't have no common bread. We just got holy bread. Set aside for the priest. Then he lowered. We'll eat that. Amen? Jesus makes reference to that in the New Testament. Remember when they were walking through the barley fields and they were taking the grain and rubbing them in their hands and eating them, and the Pharisees jumped out and said, what are y'all doing? Y'all breaking the Sabbath. I said, did you not read when David was running for his life that he entered into the temple and asked for the shewbread? Right? He's begging. I hope y'all get this. This bread is not scrumptious bread. This is not Pizza Hut. This is not the best, you know, the best pizza you've ever heard. This is bread that's set there. Amen? Can I even go further? Don't get mad at me. And if you get mad at me, just talk to me after church. But it's like if we had a food pantry and they left some of the bread out there too long at the food pantry. Is that more realistic? Can y'all handle that? Don't be mad. Don't get so... Don't leave that food pantry alone. I'm just saying, I've been in some food pantries in some churches before, and they're not awesome sometimes. Amen? We got a good food program. Some churches, you go in there, and it looks like a museum for food.
Amen. Yeah.
I'll tell you a quick story. There's a man took me downstairs one time to church. Said, I'm going to show you food. I went down there, and I was looking at cream of mushroom and some old, you know, cream of celery. And he said, what do you think? I said, I'm thinking we need to go shopping. He said, what are you talking about? I said, I wouldn't eat any of this stuff. You show up to my house, and I'm shutting the door. Amen. Some of y'all know. I know you'll meet me right after church. Tell me, well, if you was hungry enough, you'd eat it. Yeah, but goodness gracious, man. Have you ever choked down cream of celery? No. Cream of mushroom? Not much, man. I have. It's not my choice. Amen. David, listen. Shoe bread. Ministry bread. It was supposed to be set aside for the priests, just because when they were there, they're supposed to be fasting and praying, and where they won't pass out and die, they can have the shoe bread that's been separated for God. It's also just to show God, hey, we're going to separate some bread for you, and we're worshiping you. David said, I'll get that. He's eating that, and he's taking it. But guess what he's also saying? Praise God in that. He said, God is, taste and see God is His praise. If you were reading that, if you were just reading that blindly and not knowing anything, you would say, He's doing great and He is full. And He's totally empty. Sometimes your praise should camouflage what you're going through. I ain't saying, listen to me, don't tell every time, preacher, no, not every time, but sometimes wear your enemy out. Sometimes wear people out that think you're going, you don't feel like it, praise Him anyway. Hey, you're hungry, praise Him anyway. You feel like you're going under, hey, praise Him anyway. Just stand up, hey, pray, God's good, man. God's good, right? All right, let me give you a couple more, and then we'll go back. Because that's good. Let me check that verse out real quick. All right, jump down with me. Where are we at? Verse 7. Now certain men of the servant Saul. Oh yeah, verse 7. Now check this out. I was reading this. Now a certain man of the servant of Saul was there that day detained before the Lord. And his name was Doeg, the Edomite, the chiefest of the herdmen, and belonged to Saul. And David said unto Elimelech, is there no one here under thine hand that had a spear or sword? For I have neither brought my sword nor my weapons with me, because the king's business required haste. Man, I've read this so many times, and I thought to myself, why was Doeg there? Amen? Why was Doeg there? Doeg belonged to Saul. Doeg was just happened, but it said he was retained of the Lord. Amen? Y'all hear me? He was retained of the Lord. I want you to understand this. David was the next king of Israel. David was going through a process where God was moving him out and working on him, working on his... I mean, there were so many things God's working on him. He's got to do something with Saul. He's got to do something with David. There's things that he's got to put in David. He's things he's got to take out of David. But guess what he does? He never lets David get so far away that his enemy, Saul, don't know where he's at. You hear what I'm saying? God's in control of everything. God could have let Doeg left an hour before David arrived. But Doeg was sitting there, and he's recording everything that's going on with David, because he's going to go to Saul, because Saul has got to eventually come after David. Are you tracking me? Because sometimes, all right, Lord, I'm saved, I'm born again, I've done great for you, I'm good. You're not going to let the enemy, you're not going to let bad things happen, you're not going to let bad people into my life, you're not going to let the enemy see what I'm doing. And there he stands. Can you see Doeg? Wait a minute, something ain't adding up. David ain't got nothing but a bunch of kids with him. Amen? A bunch of teenage kids. That's all he had with him. He didn't have any warriors. He didn't have any people to fight with him. He had a bunch of young kids. Boys. Young boys. Probably somebody to carry armor and stuff like that. Nothing else. Guess what? There he's like, man, that is weird. You got the man who's over the armies of Israel running by himself. Y'all got some Doegs in your life. Hey, man, when you're doing something, they're standing there watching. They can't wait for you. They might not even wait for you to leave before they call whoever to call to tell them what you're doing. Hey, man, I mean, they're sitting there going, I can't wait to tell them. who I seen up here. Amen? I mean, he is up here in that part of town doing whatever. I can't believe that. I can't wait to tell everybody. Amen? I can't wait and run and tell and just ruin. I mean, I'm just going to. I bet Saul would want to know about this. Right? But I find it amazing that God didn't move him. Amen? That God did. I think all the time, hey, God, I got in this ministry. Oh, we're going to be smooth. We're just going to see souls saved, lives changed. No trouble, no power, no pain, no heartache, no nothing. God, oh, it's smooth running. And then we act like when a Doag shows up or when some trouble happens, we're like, why are we going through trouble? God, you should have removed that. Amen? Give me a few more verses right there, Diane.
I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles.
Amen. Did he save him out of all his troubles? Man, his trouble was sitting there watching him. His trouble's about to get on a horse and ride to Saul and say, I've seen David. He's running for his life. This is going to lead to some of the most spirited chases of all time. He's going to run him from pillar to post trying to find David to destroy him. He didn't deliver him. But if you read the psalm, it would camouflage the fact. You would think David was sitting up at the palace with his feet on a cushion going, man, God, you have delivered me, and I am just in total peace. He is not in total peace. He's in total chaos. Y'all ready to get into something even? Let's go one more place. I want to show you something what God does in the middle of it. And maybe God does this sometimes. I don't know how he does, but it's really neat what he does right here for David. When he asked for a sword, look what he said. In verse 9, he says, and the priest, the sword of Goliath, the Philistine. Who? What? What's there? What is there?
Goliath's sword.
Whose sword?
Goliath, the giant.
Whom thou slewest. Who slew us? Him, right? Whom thou slewest in the valley of Elah. Behold, it is here wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod. Right? If thou wilt take that, take it. For there is no other save that are here. And David said, there is none like it. Give it to me. Did you see what God done right there for him, I believe?
Encouraged
him. Gave him a past victory in the midst of chaos. Are things going to get a lot better from here on? Well, we'll see. We'll see in a minute. But, man, don't you like when God hands you something that you've won, battle you've confronted and won? Something. The ephod represents worship to God. Remember, later on you're going to see David, he'll put on the ephod and worship and seek God. Amen? The ephod was for the priest. It was an opportunity for you to, if you put on the ephod, you were going in to see God. Okay? Now that sword was wrapped in God. Okay, y'all got that? The ephod, it was wrapped in God. God said, it's back. Hey, y'all got, this is good. Sometimes you can forget how good God's been to you. Amen? If you let the enemy run you and chase you and you're running for your life, even in a time when you're penning Psalm 34 and you're praising God anyway, you know that sometimes you forgot that, hey, there was one time, right? He's running from Saul. He's running for his life. But one day, he walked right down into a valley in front of the biggest giant there's ever been, amen, and destroyed him. And all of a sudden, on the run for his life, he goes, you got any weapons in here? We ain't got no weapon. We got one. Whose is it? Can you see the priest yet looking at him? It's yours. It was the giant, you know. You killed Goliath. It's been wrapped. Golly, I like this. I did. When I read this today and went through it again, I started thinking, man, how cool is that? I'm on the run, and I run into a part of the biggest victory in my life. In one of the biggest stages, crazy places in my life, I'm about to go. He knows where he knows what he's going to do. I'm going to try to go in, amen, to these people that I've killed one of their biggest warriors. And God reminds me, I was with you then, I'm with you now. Amen? But let's keep reading a little bit, because I don't want y'all to get all excited, because the camouflage is still on. Amen? The camouflage is still on. Okay? Just because God gave him something right there, but watch this. It gets weird. It gets weird for him. In verse 10, and David arose and fled that day for fear of Saul and went to Achish, the king of Gath. That's also Abimelech, okay? And the servant of Achish said unto him, is not this David the king of the land? Okay? Did they not sing one to another of him in dances, saying, Saul has slain his thousands, and David his what? His 10,000. They're kind of poking at him right here. You know what I mean? Now you just gotta imagine, you gotta imagine this. He has walked up into one of the biggest fortress area of his enemy. Okay? He's walked up they're all there. He's by himself, practically. Okay? And they know they've got him. Right? And they're like, man, ain't this the one that they sung about? Ain't this the one that's in the enemy? They're just kind of poking at him. And look what David does. This is some of the greatest stuff in the scriptures you'll see. And David laid up these words in his heart and was sore afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. And he changed his behavior before them and feigned himself mad in their hands and scrabbled on the doors of the gate and let the spittle fall down upon his beard. Then said Achish unto his servant, lo, ye see the man is mad. Wherefore then have you brought him to me? Have I need of a madman? Right? They have brought me this fellow to play the madman in my presence. Shall this fellow come into my house? Y'all ain't... Hey, Dan, read me the first three verses again. First three verses of that chapter, please.
I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together.
I don't know if y'all got the full picture of this or not. David was scared out of his mind when he wrote that. All right? Scared out of his... Did you hear what he said? He heard the words. He knew... Okay, when they said, is this not King David? Is this not the one they sung? Saul kills his thousands. David kills his 10,000. 10,000 of what? Of them. Are you hearing me? You hated a bunch of dudes or a bunch of girls, you hated them, and you had a big beef fight with them all the time, and all of a sudden you walked around the corner, and all of a sudden they're all there, like 1,000 of them, and you're by yourself. And they're like, hey, aren't you the one that whooped so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so? Ah, glad we caught you over here. And they know who you are. David is scared out of his mind. And he's so scared. That dude, this ain't just a little bit of spit. Dude, he's slobbering like a madman. And listen, he takes his fingers and bores them up in the door of the gate to the point where he's probably reaching down into some blood and some bone and losing some fingernails, and he is scraping and screaming and howling and slobbering and... to the point where his worst enemies feel sorry for him. He carried Goliath's head off the battlefield. He has killed, thousands of these people. He acted so crazy that the leader said, man, I feel bad for this guy. Should we let him in our house? And he pins, God is good. You wouldn't believe this is what's going on in his life during this song to God. You would think, man, this guy's got it all together. Sometimes when your life's falling all apart, praise God like it's not. And the enemy and the world will be sitting there going, what in the world? because we're reading this right now. That's why I had her read this, because I'm sitting here going, what a contrast. What a contrast that's going on. Amen? He pens a psalm. If you were just to read it, now go back. I challenge you tonight. Go back and read this psalm on your own time and see if you can find any flaw to saying, man, he's behind enemy lines. He's starving to death. God's left him back there. He had to act like a crazy man. Can you praise God when you're having to act like a crazy man or a crazy woman? I know some of y'all don't act like you're crazy. You just don't hide it very well. Amen? He is literally acting like a crazy person. There is no telling. Listen, when you're trying to save your own life and your enemy's surrounding you, there's no telling what he did at that gate to pull that off. Amen? I mean, he's scratching them. If you ever watch somebody crazy, you'd think, well, he's just acting. He's just trying to save his own life. Man, the leader went, this is nuts. He's just nuts. The whole time, David sitting there, the whole time in his mind, man, God, you're good. Amen? I wonder if he ever resigned to the fact that I've been anointed the next king of Israel. This is as far away from being the next king of Israel as you can get. So therefore, God, I consider you not to be a liar. So this must be one of the greatest tests I've ever been through. Amen? I couldn't help myself. When I went to teach this, I couldn't help myself bleeding over into chapter 22 because some of the best stuff I've ever seen is in chapter 22 at the very beginning. Y'all ready? And you say, why in the world would God take David and put him in a place like Gad, right? Behind enemy lines. Why would he do that? But he's going to be the next king of Israel, right? But he's never been a king. Matter of fact, the only thing he's led up to this point are sheep. So guess what he's doing to him? Yeah, he's teaching. Let's break it down a little bit more. Can y'all handle just a little bit of teaching right here? Watch this right here. He's doing something that you can't. God is letting him be a teacher or letting him be a leader in a place where he can only rely on two things. God and him. But mostly God. Y'all get me? Now listen, break this down. Sometimes God will take you, right? If he had stayed in Israel, he could have the support of his dad, his brothers, his own people, right? So when he's in Gad, guess who's relying on? God, right? And guess who he's relying on? Himself. So he's going to learn how to be a leader with God's help and on his own. It's not, somebody didn't give me this, somebody didn't give me that. Guess what? God threw you in the firing pin. But guess what? With a lot less numbers and where you can, some of y'all need to write this down, where you can make mistakes and it don't cost everybody everything. It don't cost you everything. Sometimes God will take you and put you in a place where you can make some mistakes and guess what? It's not catastrophic. I can tell you different places God has brought me along the line. When he's taking you to a place. Some places you're out here and you're going, why in the world am I in this obscure place? Right? Why am I? Why? It seems like a demotion. If God, why is God? It's not. God is taking you there to work on you and work on them and get areas of your life straightened out. Y'all ready? Y'all get that? Because there's a lot of meat right there. Because everything, God doesn't consider numbers like we do. We look at numbers and we think success. If you got more numbers, you got more success. God don't think like that. God's looking at, are you effective? Amen? Why would I put you in front of a nation if you can't lead 10 people? Okay, never mind. Does that make sense to you a little bit? Watch this, verse 22. There's such good stuff right here. David therefore departed thence and escaped to a cave in Adullam, right? And was with his brethren, and all his father's house heard it, they went down hither to him. Okay, y'all good? Guess where leadership starts with David? King David, anointed man of God. Where does it start? Cave leadership. God, I wonder if he set up a desk. I wonder if he like, okay, this right here in this corner of this cave, that's mine. You guys are over there. Right? I want this, I want right up near the lip. Come on, y'all right? I mean, oh, goodness gracious. I could just, in my mind, I'm running through different places. But I'm just, man, hey, God, if it's good, it's good, right? God said, hey, this is God got want me here. I'm working, right? Look, his brothers, listen, ain't this cool right away? Guess who hears about it? His family. They come riding down, right? Hey, what's going on, man? All right, come on in. First one's here. Get in the cave. What are you doing? Cave ministry. Cave ministry. Get in, boys. It's awesome, right? He's still praising God. Hey, get in. Cave ministry. We'll start a cave ministry. We're going to start a church right here. Can you see it? First cave of the Noel. I don't know. Whatever you want to call it. This first cave. Here we are. How do you see? What do you see in the church? I see great stuff happening here. Great stuff. I can't wait till all the people come. We're going to have all kinds of ministries here. Here, look at these people. This is the only reason, one of the few reasons I teach, this is amazing. This is my favorite part right here. Look at verse 2. And everyone that was distressed, for everyone that was in distress, y'all don't see it, man. The first Sunday, they're having cave church. There's some banditos riding up. Hey, man, what are you doing in our cave? What are you talking about? That's where we hide out. We're highly distressed. We're running for our life. Come on in. We're about to start service. You can be right here with us. Amen? The distress. Some people, that are everybody hates. When you're under distress, listen, you don't think like a deer during hunting season. They're under great, Derek, quit looking like that. They're under great distress. Derek's a deer hunter. Every deer that lives around his neighborhood is in great distress. Right? He wants to go hunting, but if he goes hunting only a few feet off the porch, it's all right. I'm just kidding. I don't know if that's true or not. But those deer right now, they'll run out in front of your car because they're in great distress because the enemy is chasing them and they are running for their lives. And David's up there in the great cave church going, you can hide out in here. That ain't much different than the flat top church we got here. If you're running from the enemy, come on in here. We got room for you. Distressed people sometimes don't know how to dress, don't know how to act. They don't know how to do a lot of things, but praise God, they know how to run. We'll take them. You're supposed to say amen right there. Everyone that was in debt. Oh no, we don't want them though. We'll get your financial house in order. No, guess what? These people owed everybody, and they were hiding out in the cave too, because guess what? Everybody was looking for them, so the debt collector, let's go hide out in the cave. We owe everybody. David's like, come on in. We're going to find out about God who will take your sin debt and absolve it. Amen. Well, how is that going to help us financially? Well, if you get saved, you'll start being honest in all your dealings. Well, come on in. Ain't that pretty cool? What a congregation. Your family? Hardest ministry in the world? Your family? You thought I was going to say these other folks. No, your family. If you've ever tried to minister to your family, you know they're the hardest group. Amen. Then the distressed. And then the ones that are in debt. Praise God, what a church he's building. Amen? And everyone that was discontented. No, golly. Don't look at anybody right now. Keep the bitter in soul. Oh, the bitter in soul, the discontent. They didn't like nothing. What are you doing here? I don't like you. Why are you here? I don't know. You're terrible. I hate this cave. It's too cold. It's too creepy. It's too wet. It's too dark. Well, you can go to the next cave down the street. Y'all see it? The discontented. Man, could you imagine starting your church? Your ministry, your leadership skills with the discontented, bitter of soul, the ones that are in debt, the ones that are in distress. God, we're not getting out of this cave anytime soon. Come on, man, that's so good. gathered themselves unto him, and he became a what? Captain over them. And there were with him about what? 400 men. These were, he starts his mighty men of valor. Because he didn't say, oh God, I can only work if I'm in the palace. What he was saying is, hey, God, I'll worship you through one of the lowest places in my life. And if I worship through the lowest places in my life, God says, I'll let you start. And it might not be starting in the palace. You'll start in the cave. But the people that are in the cave with you will end up taking you to the palace.
Amen.
Wow. You know how these people right here are going to fight with him. Blood, sweat, and tears, because they came in when he first started. And he loved them like he was the king of Israel. He was their king. He was their captain. That's the attitude. See, that's what I worry about. When I see people in ministry, they're always looking for something down the road. They're always looking for something. Oh, I can't wait to... Listen, be the captain of the people you have right in front of you. Minister to the ones right. The person in front of you is going to be the person that you're the captain of. Amen? Don't look for the place ahead of you, the place behind you. It's right here, right now. You don't get any time over. I hope you learned something. What I hope you learned, as we all stand, they'll come get a song. But what I want you to learn tonight is your praise, your worship can camouflage your circumstances. It can. I'm not saying it always will, and I would be hypocritical if I got up here and told you, hey, listen, every time the enemy's got you down, you just camouflage. I don't know if we could always do it. But like David, because there's a lot of Psalms that he wrote, and some of them don't start out so good, they usually all end pretty well. But in this one, I thought was really neat. Is because he was going through one of the hardest times in his life. And by all the words that were coming out of his mouth, you couldn't tell it. Man, wouldn't that be good if somebody could say that about us? Wouldn't it be awesome that one day somebody found out you were going through the worst times of your life, and they all of a sudden found out, wait a minute, but during that time, you were praising God and singing about God and trusting God and saying He was your everything and that He was filling you up. You said that, oh, taste and see, and you were begging for bread. You said you worship God with your words and your praise, and you had to act like a crazy person, act like you couldn't put two sentences together. Amen? That's a challenge, right? That's not only a challenge for you, it's a challenge for me too. This challenges me. Because guess what? Some days I just want to say, hey, God, where you at? You started this. Where you at? You know? Instead, worshiping as they sing songs.